nation has
there are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline in the dollar.
Lack of a better word.
Late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy. Economy.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Money Talks.
Well, good morning, good morning. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most respected money show on the radio. I'm Troy Harmon. I'm here today with Shauna Theriault.
Hello.
Who is a CFP and a CPA, works in our planning and implementation department at Hensler Financial. And I'm here also with Jennifer Thomas, who runs that department.
Yes, she does.
She runs the department. So she, too, is a CFP, and we have got all kind of information. The market's still doing all right. I think we're down for the week. I would have to guess that it's because of the fact that we weren't on the air last week to tell you that the market was going up.
Clearly.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Clearly. What happened?
Well, it was Thanksgiving.
Oh.
We were all at home hanging out.
Eating too much.
That's right. S&P did fall in the past week. We're down a little better than 1% since last Thanksgiving Day, since last Thursday. If you look at what we've done year to date, though, it's actually pretty attractive. We're up
a little over nine percent.
Who's leading the charge now, Shauna?
Energy.
Energy has
25%.
Rallied. Yeah, energy rallied pretty good this week. We got news that OPEC came to an agreement that they were going to limit the output, the daily output, 1.2 million barrels of oil per day, which actually should have a positive effect on price. The price of, I say positive effect, it depends on what side of this equation you are. If
right.
you're selling it,
right. then it's not
it's
going to
be a, if you're selling it, it's a benefit. But
right.
if it's like the rest of us where we're putting gas in our car, it's not going to be the biggest benefit,
exactly.
obviously. But either way, energy has rallied for the year. Energy sector up 25.5%.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. We had a horrible time, and you know, from the end of about midway through 2014, all
right.
of 2015, and then it came to its low point in February of this year. So from February, we've had a significant rally. February 11th actually was a huge turning point in the market.
So do we think it's made back or just still has a ways to go?
Well, you know, we're over 50. I really expect it would be in the mid-50s in oil price by the end of the year. Where do I think probably the normal price, a good average price for crude oil is probably around $70.
Yeah.
So we're still relatively
still
low. You know, higher oil prices help all the producers, especially Saudi Arabia, who in the last couple of years has had some pretty significant issues within their economy because of the fact that oil prices were so low. And,
right.
and you know, we talked about this a lot back when it was all more topical. But what they were trying to do, and I think they successfully showed that they could run the market again and kind of squash the Bakken shale, that new shale oil field that is in western North Dakota. So
right.
it's U.S. Our domestic producers were actually probably harmed most in the middle of this. What were boom towns turned into ghost towns in North Dakota. But even some of that's coming back. I've seen this week some reports that that we're finally getting some new exploration interest, I guess, in domestic oil fields. So,
yeah, it was really interesting when it was booming there. I mean, the housing couldn't keep up. They were
yeah.
shipping in containers and, you know, different
yeah.
like housing possibilities for people to stay in until they could get things built.
Yeah, I thought it was strange. I guess it reminded me of the stories that I see from old Gold Rush.
Yes.
Yeah. Times when
yeah.
the men would all, yeah, they had man camps
right.
in
right.
western North Dakota,
yeah.
and that's what they were calling them. I mean, it's bizarre. But, you know, it's rallied hard, but it's not back 100%. Probably on the other end of the spectrum, and before we get too far away from that, financials actually, who had languished horribly this year, are now up almost 20% year to date.
14% since the election.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, so most of that.
Yeah, you look at that. The big rally, a lot of that is going to be related to the yield curve. So interest rates, I looked at the expectations this morning about whether or not we're going to have a rate increase, which we should get the news on December 14th when the Fed finishes their open market committee meeting that they've got scheduled. They're saying 100%. The market is indicating 100%
wow.
chance
mm-hmm.
of an increase in interest rates. So what you've seen, I think, is the market getting ahead of the actual actions of the Fed. Probably won't see a whole lot of change after that, except for the prime rate, maybe. And within an hour or two of the Fed's release, which we expect to be a 0.25% increase, you'll probably see the same in the prime rate at most banks.
You know, the question I get a lot from clients is they do see the rates going up a little bit, and they say, well, what about all these dividend-paying stocks they love and everybody's gone to because the income's
right.
there and the yield? And, you know, what are your thoughts on them? You know, I mean, it's not going to go up that much that everybody's just going to exit dividend-paying stocks, right?
No, it's not. Because, I mean, think about what we're talking about. What do we got? 25 basis points, 50 basis points. We're going
right.
to maybe get to 75, you know, in the next few months. But that's still not sufficient to outperform.
Move out of a 4% dividend.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, we run an equity income portfolio in-house. It's focused on that dividend. The yield on it right now is about 3.5%, which is significantly better than inflation.
Sure.
You buy a CD or you think about, you know, a lending rates or any of those relative to inflation, and
mm-hmm.
You got a negative real interest rate,
right.
which is the nominal rate, the rate that's stated minus the inflation rate. So all things considered, I think you've still got some room to grow in those equity incomes. Plus, one thing that doesn't get talked about a lot is we've seen some dividend increases this year. So those portfolios, what do we got? Utilities are up 9.8% year to date. Some of those portfolios I know are up still in the double digits. When you consider things beyond just the utilities, there's a lot of stocks out there that pay those kind of dividends that are really attractive. So, you know, everything considered, I think that's still a pretty good space to invest
Absolutely.
In, even with interest rates rising. One thing that it has hurt, real estate is the worst performing sector. It's
mm-hmm.
our newest sector, and what better way to rally it into the mix with a 4.5% loss and let it lag the market overall?
Right.
Well,
right.
I mean, if you think about why that would be, most real estate portfolios are heavily leveraged. So if the cost of capital is going up,
right.
then you would probably see that a slowing in real estate. So makes sense. 4.5%, I guess, is not the best of times for sure.
The only other thing that's down for the year is healthcare.
Healthcare is
still
negative.
Remaining down.
Yeah, what is it, like over 4%?
4%.
Yeah, 4.2 more or less. If you look since the election, healthcare is one of those that's negative as
negative.
Well. It's down about 0.25%. The overall market since the election's up about 2.5%. And that's as of Thursday, December 1st. We obviously record this show on Thursdays for airing on Saturday. But healthcare, there's kind of, you know, with the new president-elect, Donald Trump, coming in, there's been a lot of talk as to whether or not he'll repeal the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. If, in fact, that does occur, it could knock folks off the insurance rolls. So while it's going to be aimed at making the costs more affordable,
right.
you would think the Affordable Care Act actually made that happen, right?
mm-hmm.
Not so much.
That's not what has actually happened.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
So, all things considered, I guess it makes sense that healthcare would be suffering a little bit, but again, we'll get more clarity as we go along on that. Seems like earnings season is just about done. 493 of the S&P 500 stocks have reported, and in the quarter, earnings surprise is positive 5.5%. Sales surprise is slightly positive at 0.27%. Growth earnings have grown at about 2.7% in the quarter, and sales are up 2.1%. So that's for everything overall. Again, you know, we talked about energy and how it's rallied, but the earnings have not normalized yet. Earnings growth negative 62.5%. Sales growth is only negative 15% now. So that's come quite a long way. I think a couple of quarters ago it wasn't even measurable when we looked at the rates. We got a little bit of information that we will talk about on the economy. I guess we can get one or two of these in here. Biggest one, GDP is measured
3.2%.
So that's better. I think at 2.9 was the first estimate. We got an upgrade to 3.2% on the third quarter GDP growth. So that's pretty significant. It's probably one of those pieces that's also added to our possibility on the rate increase. So you know, it's not real surprising that we've got that big 100% probability according to the to the market. Anyway, guys, let's go ahead and finish up some of this economic releases that we got this week. Talked about GDP up 3.2%. Awesome. It seems that income soared 5.2% after rising just a revised 0.7% in the second quarter. S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index, we had appreciation accelerating in the 3 months ending September. There's a long lag in this particular release, so you know, I usually kind of pepper that in, making sure that folks understand it's kind of old news, but said that the 20-city composite was unchanged at 5.1%, moving from August to September. The National Home Price Index rose 5.5% over the 12 months ending in September, up from 5.1% in the previous year's August. Growth in the 10-city composite index quickened to 4.3% over the year in September, was up 4.2% originally. Registered in August. So a little bit of growth in home prices. Consumer Board, Consumer Confidence Index rose sharply in November, rose to 107.1, gained 6.3 points. October was revised to 100.8, which was a higher number as well. Consumer evaluations of the present economic situation and their economic expectations both increased sharply, gained 7.2%. and 5.7% respectively. MBA mortgage applications were released on Wednesday. The four-week moving average basis showed activity down 17.6% over the past month, and it's up 9% from a year ago. So cooling off a little bit, but still better than last year. Purchase applications are up 2.4% over the past month and 3.8% above the year-ago level as well. Personal income, growth in the personal income accelerated as well, so 0.6% higher in October from an upwardly revised 0.4% in September. All things considered, we got, seems like positive news pretty much all the way around. Beige Book came out, which is, you know, a few weeks lag on information from the previous previous meetings. It looks like markets throughout the districts remained, labor markets throughout the districts remained tight, generally modest employment and wage growth over the reporting period. Wages have been the big positive everywhere throughout the last couple of years, so I guess that's not surprising to still see that that news coming out. ISM Manufacturing Index shows we had a firming as the weights of the inventory correction, low energy prices, and appreciation in the U.S. dollar are easing. You would think with all the changes we've had lately and the potential for rising interest rates that the dollar might be a little bit stronger in the next few months, right, too. You know, over the last few months, it's actually loosened up a little bit, so the overall number rose from 51.5 to 51.9. And then the final was the jobless claims. Initial claims have been volatile in the past few weeks, inching upward in the week ended November 26th. Of course, we're coming in on a holiday season where we always have good
numbers. Extra jobs out
there. Exactly, yeah. We have those seasonal jobs that are about to kick up. So that's the information that we have. One last note. We've talked about interest rates. 2-year Treasury rate rose 11.7 basis points, which is 0.117% to 1.13%. 5-year Treasury was up 20 basis points. 10-year Treasury was up almost 20 basis points, so 0.2%. Now stands at 2.24, which is better than we've seen it. I think the low point for the 10-year was about 1.6%. The 30-year Treasury is currently at 3.1, which is about 14.3 basis points higher on the week. So all things considered, we're looking at an interest rate, a rising interest rate environment. So we got a lot more information, but let's take a break real quick. We'll come right back, and we'll talk more about the economy, and we'll take a few questions. Y'all stick around. Don't touch that dial.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.